Good afternoon, students. Today's lecture is a continuation from the last lecture, in which I had described the pure vowel sounds or monophthongs. So a monophthong is a sound, a pure vowel sound, a vocalic sound, one where the articulation at the beginning as well as at the end are relatively fixed, and which does not glide up, down, or take a new articulatory configuration or new position of articulation. So it's a pure vowel sound. So there are 12 of them in British RP or SSBE, and I had made a list of them and described them in detail in the last lecture. So today I'm going to talk about the remaining sounds, which are called the diphthongs, and maybe a set of triphthongs. As I was referring to in the earlier lecture, a diphthong is consisting of two sounds. So it's literally, it translates from Greek diphthongos, which means double sound or double tone. So sometimes it is also known as a gliding vowel or a glide, and it is represented as a combination of two vowel sounds within the same syllable. So technically, a diphthong is a vowel with two different targets. That is, it starts off with a tongue configuration in one position and ends up in the tongue configuration of another vowel. So there are two parts of a diphthong. One is the first vowel part, and then it is the second vowel part. So it's usually in contrast with what the monophthongs are. So if there are three sounds that are attached in the same vocalic core, then it would be known as a triphthong. We'll come to the triphthongs of English a little later, but let us cover the diphthongs first. So diphthongs usually form when the separate vowels are articulated together in a rapid succession of one another. So there is a glide. So these are called unitary diphthongs. So contrasted it with the types of different diphthongs, they are of various different natures. So there could be a falling and rising diphthong, say, or a closing, opening and centering diphthong, or a narrow and wide diphthong, or even sometimes a diphthong can be contrasted short versus long diphthongs. So in modern English, you don't usually find these short, long diphthongs, but in old English, you would have found these. So these behave like short and long vowels, occupying one or other syllabic course or mora. Languages these usually contrast these short versus long diphthongs sometimes. So let us see what they are, what they involve. So when you use a falling or lowering diphthong, it starts with a vowel which has a higher prominence in pitch quality and volume, and the end in a semi-vowel with less prominence. Say for example, the vowel I. So as in the word I, E-Y-E, so you pronounce it as I. So you have a rising diphthong, or in this case it is a falling diphthong, I. In contrast, there can be a rising diphthong like ia or ya, as in the word yarn, yard, yuck, yawn, etc. So the thing that distinguishes falling and rising does not refer to the vowel height. It is basically the falling and rising tone that describes these vowels. So if there is a lower prominence to higher prominence, that is a rising diphthong, or if it is a higher prominence to lower prominence, it's a falling diphthong. Sometimes they might also be, you know, sometimes they might also be called as an approximant, but there is a debate about that, whether you can call it or not. So we'll stick to the traditional definitions and not really call them approximants. We call them falling or rising in terms of prominence. That means in terms of the vowel quality, the tone of the voice, or the loudness of the voice, the pitch, all these combine to give one section prominent. If the first section is prominent, first vowel is prominent, and then it glides into the second vowel, so it's called a falling diphthong. Whereas if you just reverse that, where you have the second part as more having more prominence with more higher pitch, higher volume, and more degree of stress is laid in the second part, so it would be called as a rising diphthong. Now there are other types of diphthongs which are called closing, opening, and centering diphthongs. So in closing diphthongs, the second part is more close than the first part. That means close in this sense is in the sense of the vowel quadrilateral, where the tongue is raised towards the closed top. Close, the top line that is there, that is the closed position. So this is called the closing diphthongs. So if the second element, second part is near the closed position of the tongue, so they will be known as the closing diphthongs. In opening diphthongs, on the other hand, so it would be the second element, second part of the or the second vowel would be more in the open position, towards the open position. So open vowels, because they are having a quality called sonority, more sonority than the closed vowels, where more amount of resonance is generated in the open vowels compared to the closed vowels. You can also refer to the closing vowels as decreasing in sonority and opening vowels as increasing in sonority within the vowel complex. So you have two parts, two vowels, one configuration gliding into another, but having a prominence on one part and not having prominence on the other part makes it falling or rising, or ascending or descending. And the other way of, you know, classifying these vowels, these diphthongs, are by the virtue of their closing and opening and centering. So closing, in closing diphthongs, I will repeat. So the tongue element in the second part of the vowel is in the closer position, closed position, that's the top position. It goes towards the top position. And just the reverse happens in the open diphthongs or opening diphthongs, where the tongue is lowered towards a more open position. Now, there's another type of rare type of diphthong, which is called height harmonic diphthongs, where both elements were of the same nature, same vowel height, same tongue positions, tongue heights. So these usually were found in Old English, but not in Modern English. Modern English does not use these vowels, which are height harmonic. On the other hand, there are centering diphthongs, which are the ones that begins with a more peripheral vowel. That means towards the cardinal vowel positions. It starts from there, from any of the cardinal vowel positions, and go on to become more centralized. So it goes towards the center of the vowel quadrilateral. So these are indicated using arrows for the directions. So I'll give you some examples of these. So an example of a closing vowel complex or closing diphthong would be A or O or OI. So if you have words where the syllabic component is having these sound complexes or vowel complexes, where there is a glide towards from a more lower down position of the tongue towards a more higher or the closed position of the tongue, then at that point of time you would say that these are the closing diphthongs. On the other hand, if you just reverse the direction and say ua, ia, ea, oa, so these are called the opening diphthongs. And sometimes diphthongs like ea, ea, oa, ua, they are also known as centering diphthongs because they form their second part, second element towards the close, towards the center close. So if you look at the vowel quadrilateral, you will see that they start off with the configuration located at one point, that the first part of the vowel, and then they glide towards the second part. So which is towards, all of them would be the towards the upper part of the vowel quadrilateral. So those will be the closing ones. And similarly, so if you go towards the bottom side, so it would be the opening ones. And if you go towards the center side, so from any of the periphery, so any of the cardinal vowel locations, go towards the center, so starts from the cardinal vowel or near about the cardinal vowel positions and goes towards the center and the most neutral state of the configuration, so those would be known as the centering diphthongs. So if you look at the diagrams that I will send you after this lecture, so it will become more apparent. So this is as far as the classification of these diphthongs are concerned. So right now we are considering the English diphthongs. So as you have seen in this, a diphthong is or can be described as a glide from one pure vowel to another pure vowel. Now in SSBE or RP there are 8 of these. So which are these? So you have the closing diphthongs are A, O, I, O, and OI. So I will repeat these closing diphthongs. A, O, I, O, OI. So in these diphthongs, they are initiated by the 5 pure vowels A, 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 and they glide towards or move towards the pure vowels, which are E and U. So they are towards the cardinal positions, towards the closed positions, so which happen to be the closed vowels. So that is why these two sets of pure vowels, which have given birth to these closing diphthongs, they are known as closing diphthongs. I'll repeat this set again, this set of five diphthongs: A, O, I, O, OI. So in each of them you will see that in the vowel quadrilateral you will have a glide that is represented, which will initiate at one location and will gravitate towards the configuration of another location. Now there are some centering diphthongs also. So these are ia, ea, and ua. Ia, ea, and ua. So all of these three are centering diphthongs. They are initiated from the close or front close region, and then goes towards the center. So in the first case, ear, there is a centering diphthong that is initiated from close front location. In air, the centering diphthong is initiated from half close region, so that is near about the cardinal vowel 2. And in the and both of them are from the front. And then you have ua, where it is close back, which is the starting point near the cardinal vowel 8, and then goes towards the center of the vowel quadrilateral. So here you have these 12 diphthongs. So you have 8 pure vowels and 12 diphthongs, which are listed as part of the vowel repertoire of the SSBE or British RP, Received Pronunciation, Standard Southern British English. So that dialect, or that variety rather. Now there are some triphthongs also, where there are three sounds that are there and two glides are involved. Not only one glide. In diphthongs, there is only one glide. It starts from one and goes to, from position one and goes to position two. In triphthongs, it starts from position one, goes to position two, and continues to go into a position three. So this third position can be the same position, or it can be as one as a starting position, or it can be another location, another position. So triphthongs would be something like aia, aua, ei, something like that. So in the last one, you see that starts from e, goes to a, and then goes back to e, ei. So some of the British speech does have these triphthongs, but these triphthongs are fairly common in the Indian languages, especially Hindi. So you know, you have words like aiye, jaiye, khaiye, laiye. So you have aiye as a combination. So you see, it starts from a, goes to e, and then goes to a. Aiye. So a is position one, e is position two, and a is position three. So you would be showing the progression of this triphthong with a set of two straight lines, one connecting position 1 and position 2, and then gliding into from position 2 to position 3. So there will be you can show them using two arrows, that is pointing towards two solid arrows connected with these three points to show its progression. So these kinds of These kinds of sounds are there in the British RP or SSBE or Standard Southern British English variety. So this is what you can think of them as the total vowel repertoire. So we had in the previous lecture talked about the pure vowels or the monophthongs, where there is a single sound, the beginning and the end, and the middle also relatively stable. The configuration is relatively stable. It does not change much. Whereas diphthongs and triphthongs change their configuration midway. If there is one change, it is a diphthong. If there are two changes in relative positions during the articulation of the sound, it is a triphthong. So I guess the most of the descriptions for these diphthongs and triphthongs they are done, but I'd like to summarize the lecture in terms of these 20 vowels and three triphthongs, two or three triphthongs. Among the 20 vowels, there are 12 pure vowels and 8 diphthongs. And each of them is represented in the writing system by different IPA letters and their combinations. So, as I said, there are 12 of them are monophthongs, or what are known as pure vowels. And the remaining 8 are diphthongs, and there are 2 or 3 triphthongs depending on the variety that you are trying to look at. Now, all the diphthongs and 5 of the monophthongs are long. The remaining 7 monophthongs are short. It is however, only in identical phonetic environment that the long vowels are always longer than the short vowels. So, under different phonetic contexts, these vowels can change their positions or their lengths or their character. So, it can become from short vowel, it can become a long vowel. Or sometimes from long vowels can become short vowels, depending on the phonetic context or immediate pronunciation context of the sounds themselves. So this concludes the lesson for the pure vowels and diphthongs, their classification, their descriptions, and their occurrence typologies. So I think I'll stop here for this lesson and try to answer your questions. So questions are welcome.